What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
About. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. I need to open with a very critical breaking news announcement.
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I read Shailene Woodley likes to go to a private area, open her vagina, let the sun in, and that's how she gets her glow.
Eating Tide Pods doesn't make you cool.
Mr. Kinney, it's a fine line between being clever and offensive, isn't it?
Look, if I could just say something in defense of National Lampoon for one moment.
Please.
We come from a tradition of truth tellers. A long time ago, there was someone else society found offensive. They thought that what he did was radical, dangerous. Persecuted him and eventually killed him. Of course, I'm referring to Dracula.
And now.
You never get into any of this crap. I think the reason is because it's garbage.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 18th of April.
How you holding up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
It's a pretty tough game last night.
Yeah.
And I was sitting near some Golden Knights fans.
Yeah.
And some of them were being dicks.
Yeah.
To you or just in general?
Both.
Oh.
Both.
So I just want to make sure I have this straight.
Yes.
You love the Kings?
I do.
There are such high hopes going into the playoffs.
Yes.
And in just four games, it's over.
Yeah.
Damn. Sorry, man.
That happens. Yeah. You know.
Well, the Ducks play tonight. Hopefully the same thing doesn't happen to us.
Shit. Look, I hope it doesn't happen to you too because you're playing San Jose.
Yeah. Reverse sweep. That's what I'm going for.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But there was some pretty crappy smack talking going on last night. And I think we need to up our game as fans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both. There was a Kings fan, and this was unbelievable. He was yelling this at the top of his lungs. Vegas sucks! And then he realizes, of course, they don't because they were in first place pretty much the whole year and they're beating the Kings. And he goes, well, okay. You go back on it. Like,
oh, dear.
Okay, they don't suck, but they haven't won a championship yet.
Oh.
They've been around 9 months.
Yeah. Right.
I was at the Ducks Sharks game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Sharks won. As we're walking out, there's a Sharks fan walking around going, you guys aren't even Los Angeles. I'm like, we know that. We're in Anaheim.
You don't want to be.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. That's so ridiculous.
What was the Vegas smack talk people? What were they saying?
Bad or good? I have a bad example.
Yeah, I want a bad one.
It was game three Sunday night, and Drew Doughty got his helmet knocked off. And a Knights fan yelled, hey, Doughty! Pause. You should cut your hair.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm like, what's going on?
There's nothing worse than awful chirps.
Right.
It's the worst.
I mean, step up the game a little bit. But then after the game, it was so frustrating because the Kings were half an inch from scoring 20 times. And you just keep thinking, okay, they'll get one. We didn't score at all. No goals for the Kings. Three goals, I think, in the entire sweep.
Four games.
Yeah. And I was walking out, and one of the Golden Knights fans put his hand up to high-five me and say, maybe next year.
Oh.
So I just kept my hand down, just walked past him. I just ignored him. And then my daughter came out, and she said, why'd you ignore that guy? And I said, because he was being a dick. And she goes, no, he was being serious.
Being genuine.
I said, what did you do? And she went, I high-fived him. Aww. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's sorry. It's a amazing thing to be able to chirp your first year in the league. I mean, maybe tone that down a little bit.
There was a guy holding the sign I told you that said cup in one. And that's just ridiculous. But, yeah, that sucked.
Are you going to root for Vegas?
Nope.
You're not, really?
No, sir.
But you like Las Vegas, the city.
Of course.
You're great at poker.
Okay. You're good at poker.
You enjoy the Wheel of Fortune slots.
I don't at all.
You like room service?
Yes, anywhere.
All those mixed together and then the slaughtering of your team. This year, you should root for the team that beat you.
Yeah, I do feel that some years, but for some reason, I just dealt with this team.
Did you hear his chirp during the game?
What was his chirp?
He yelled, "Vegas sucks!" And then he stopped and he's like, "But not as a destination! I really enjoy going there!
It's a good city! It's just a bogus team!
Time. I'll spend my money there!"
Oh, no, I could like the city without liking the team. Now I'm stuck, see, because now who do I root for?
You can't do the Sharks. You can't do the Sharks.
I can't.
Can I interest you?
The Sharks are the worst.
Yeah, agreed.
So can't root for them. So in this particular case, Ducks.
Behind the Canucks, but let's be honest.
Agreed, yes, but the Canucks aren't good enough to hate.
Where are they?
Become the team Ducks, Kev.
I can't.
Can I interest you in the Boston Bruins?
I don't have feelings either way about the Boston Bruins. Okay. I do as a Lakers fan.
Sure.
Hate Boston.
Got it.
But the Bruins, I don't.
Real fun team.
Hate.
Super young. Pasta. Like, they're incredible this year.
Yeah.
I just jinxed them. They're done now.
I think Kevin would like following this for Marshawn. For Brad Marshawn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He licks people's necks.
That was unbelievable. I've never seen a guy lick a guy.
Yeah. What?
In a hockey game.
Oh, the hockey game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, clarify that.
Good qualifier.
That was really bizarre. I've never seen anything like that. I don't know who to root for now.
So just hold on. To be clear, during a game, a man licked a man?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what did the other guy do?
He just sort of, I don't think he could process it.
Yeah. Brad, he's a problem child, as it is.
Yeah.
So the fact that he wasn't beating him was probably shocking to the guy. So he's like, wait, what? You're licking me? And now there's some confusion. Was it a lick? Did he smell him? Did he kiss him? Regardless, what he said after the game was, I don't know. I just thought he wanted to cuddle. Like, what is happening in that man's head? He's out of his mind. It's amazing.
I've never seen anyone lick anyone else.
I mean, just for that, you should root for the Bruins.
No,
they're
head
whacked.
There's no head injuries if you lick somebody. He could either bash the guy into the boards or just lick his cheek. So maybe that's going to set a trend.
Yeah, you just for that.
Start licking everybody.
I mean, I don't think that should be a trend, but...
At least on the ice.
I don't think that's necessarily a trend you want.
Oh, okay. Anywhere.
No.
Like if I'm in traffic and someone cuts me off, well, instead of having road rage, I go lick them. That would not be good.
You get them to pull over. Just walk up and lick them?
Yeah,
I don't see that
get
working
in the car
either.
And drive away. Me neither.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yes.
You removed the fun. Thanks a lot.
All right. You're welcome. Natasha Leggero. And Moshe Kasher?
Yeah.
Yes.
Married, new parents, very funny together.
The honeymoon stand-up special on Netflix.
Ridiculous.
Really
very
good.
Funny,
and Natasha, and I'm going to ask her about this, she just converted to Judaism.
Oh, yeah.
And my number one question is she going to have a bat mitzvah?
Oh, no.
Why? A themed? She seems like she would have a themed.
But do you do that as an adult?
You don't.
I feel like that's a certain age.
13.
However,
right. Is she 13?
No, but then in 13 years she could do it.
Oh, I see.
I did find out something very shocking last night.
Oh.
About converting.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is it?
And why?
They don't have a breast,
when you go to
no!
the, listen, and I want to ask them about this because I didn't think this was real, but these conversion classes, she was talking about how it's all women. All women are converting. And then she's like, then I realized why. Men don't want to convert because regardless if they're circumcised or not, they have to have an actual ceremony of a bris. That can't be right, right?
Wow,
can
that
it?
Can't be right.
Can it? Like
well,
a double
know.
Snip? I mean, listen, people, we want to save as much penis as possible. Why are we cutting off all that penis?
As an adult?
I stopped the special at that point and was like, should I Google this? Allie, don't. Don't
you should have Googled it.
No, it'll just, there's a whole rabbit hole of, what?
All right.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk to them today. We've got many questions for them, apparently. Jensen Karp, our hip-hop correspondent, will be joining us, talking about Kendrick Lamar winning the Pulitzer.
Yep.
Nice.
And, you know, Bad Baby.
Nope.
Being nominated for the Billboard Awards.
Nope.
He agrees with you, Allie, in that particular case.
Any right-thinking American does.
Most rewatchable movies on today's show?
Yes.
Oh. Parrot Man. A guy who is having plastic surgeries so that he can end up looking like his parrot.
Stop it.
His next surgery, he's going to cut the bottom part of his nose off and make a beak.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. That's a thing.
Why'd you do that?
I didn't do anything.
Why are you bringing it to
Because
us?
It's awesome.
Okay.
He's crazy. And Lauren Zitomirsky ran the Boston Marathon backwards to raise money for charity. We have many questions about that because the Boston Marathon was horrific
weather.
Worst
conditions in forever.
Strong winds blowing rain and sleet right into their faces. He may have been the smartest guy. His eyes were fine. We've also got your passes for the Avengers Infinity War, the world premiere, coming up as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the first What's Happening Next.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Allie is here with a look at what's happening.
Big system problems on the IRS website yesterday. Yesterday was when it was the last day to file your taxes. Send it in. And the website went down.
That's awesome.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So they have filed your own extension for you. You have until midnight tonight to go back on the website, make sure everything is all done.
Can you imagine their IT guys?
Oh, losing it, right?
You had one job on one day,
right.
Not to let it fail.
I can't even imagine the butthole pucker of those dudes. Not good. Beyoncé's Coachella performance set a live stream record. Her Saturday performance drew 458,000 simultaneous viewers on YouTube. Yeah, that's the most ever for a single Coachella performance since they started streaming the festival about 8 years ago. And that's up a whopping 75% from last year.
Wow.
That's insane. In all, the opening weekend generated 43.1 million live stream views in 232 countries.
Man, that's crazy.
So, yeah. Allie, 75% more people watched the most watched live performance
weird,
this year.
Right?
So, right. That that is weird. Mm-hmm. So, do we know who was the most last year then? Because that's...
Well, it's up 75% over last year, which was Lady Gaga.
Okay. Oh, there was Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's not...
Yeah. That's huge.
That is a huge jump.
Yeah. It makes it the most viewed live music festival ever on YouTube. And you have to wonder if Eminem's stream was live, how much bigger those numbers would be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because people tuned in Sunday and were like, what?
I did.
Why am I watching Migos?
Yep.
This is the worst day ever, said the people there as well. Not good that Eminem didn't stream, but that's, I guess, his choice.
Yeah, I worked on a couple festivals around the country where I was the host and they broadcast the festivals.
Yeah.
And at the festivals that Eminem was at, no streaming.
Always. Huh?
In fact, we were hosting something while he was doing sound check. They kicked us out of the area.
Oh, wow.
And we're like, we're on the stream. There's 8 people watching us. Nope, you got to go.
Yeah.
Is he just super protective that his set is going to get out if he's touring later that year?
I think
year,
so. I think that's what it was this time, but it sounds like he does it every time. So, I don't know.
Or he's just a hologram and no one knows.
Wow, that would be huge.
Right?
Right?
Breaking news.
He did announce his sobriety on stage. I believe it's 10 years now.
Wow.
Yep.
He talked about that.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Well, she passed away.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird time to play that clip after the sobriety thing, but
I thought it was funny.
Did you?
Yeah. My bad.
Lauryn Hill has announced Miss Education of Lauryn Hill 20th anniversary tour. That album is iconic, one of the best. She's going to be playing it from start to finish on this tour. There is no LA date, but I just looked it up. She's playing April 29th in San Bernardino at the Kaya Fest, which honors the legacy of Bob Marley. But There's no way she's playing a whole album during a festival, right?
I wouldn't think so.
I need word from the Kaya Fest and a couple other things from the Kaya Fest, right? Got to have Kaya now. That's a song. So I want to check into that because if there's no LA date, I am going
to have to go there.
I'm going to have to get on a plane to see her. You don't think I'm going to see Miseducation of Lauryn Hill?
No, I do think you are, but I thought you were leading toward you would go see her at the festival.
Oh, I absolutely would, but okay. There's no way you would play a whole album at a festival. Plus,
no, unless you shorten a few songs. Usually you get about, what do you get, like 10 songs at a festival?
Yeah, I think you get about right around an hour and 10 minutes, don't you, if you're the headliner?
Yeah, so I think she could probably pull it off if she's a headliner.
Yeah, maybe a tad longer.
Kaya Fest in San Bernardino. Give me a call. 1-800-52-
Nope.
Okay, all right. We're not doing that right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about a festival that, well, it didn't really go as most people planned. Remember the Fry Festival?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about that. There is an update, and I can't wait to share it with you. Some birthdays for you. Chloe Bennett, David Tennant, Melissa Joan Hart, America Ferrera, James Wood, Rick Moranis, Maria Bello, and...
who?
Conan O'Brien.
He is a dick.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? He's the love of my life.
I'm out of the loop on this.
Oh.
Are you being sarcastic or you really love Conan O'Brien?
She loves him so much that she's had the opportunity to meet him and won't.
What?
Multiple times, will not do it.
He's the founder of ISIS.
Incorrect. Incorrect. Everyone that knows him says you will be blown away by his kindness and how nice he is. Just meet him. Nope. Asshole. Again, no.
He's 6'5 with great hair and he's funny. You and him would be perfect together.
Well, I think his wife and his children would be sad to learn that.
Oh, I didn't know he had all those. I want to connect this for you.
And I appreciate that.
No problem.
It's not going to happen.
It will not. No. I love you.
Is it okay to ask, is who's second on your list?
We'll get into that
later. Okay, sorry. All right.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
Okay.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
I'd like to introduce you to Ted Parrott. Ted Parrott.
Not me.
Nope. Ted Stryker, different person. Okay. Ted Parrott is his name.
And what is this?
This is a guy who's getting tattoos and piercings and body changes so that he can look like his parrot.
He loves his parrot.
He really loves his parrot. And wait until you see the lengths that he goes to become a parrot. Now, he's a little hard to understand because he's British and he's got one of those accents that sort of he speaks quickly and you have to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But this is straight crazy.
Not so long ago, tattoos and body modifications were something only a few people had. Sailors and strongmen mainly. And they were often well hidden. Nowadays, they're something of a fashion accessory and everyone seems to be covered in them. But not quite like this chap. Meet Ted Parrott Man.
I'm sorry. I identified him wrong.
You left out the man.
Ted Parrott Man.
Yeah, come on, Kevin.
He needs a better name to start with.
Yeah, it's not as catchy.
Ted Parrott
Man. Shouldn't it be Ted the Parrott Man?
Don't know. It's his name. That's what they keep calling him throughout the whole story.
Kevin Radio Man.
Ted
on Mike.
Parrott Man.
Retired Ted is 58 and lives in the UK with Iggy the Iguana. And, as you might have guessed, his three beloved parrots. Ellie, Bobby, and Tika.
Is that his shoe your nose? Hey, you want his peanut?
Starting with this navel scene, fittingly above his navel.
Okay, so they're showing now a tattoo above his stomach.
Okay.
Ted's been getting tattooed for 4 decades.
He's been getting tattooed for 40 years.
All parrot-related tattoos?
Not until the last 2 years.
Oh.
But he spent the last 2 years trying to turn himself from this into this. Why does a man want to be a parrot? Man.
Oh my God.
That is the best.
That's a great question.
That is a great question. And the best delivery of any newscaster.
Right?
All due respect to Ali, who's a great newscaster, but this was the best delivery there.
Now, why is he doing this?
I don't know.
Why would he try to look like his parrot? Very, very colorful.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the colors.
I love the colors.
Okay.
I'm a bright person anyway. I like different colors. So you wear something bright, it cheers people up.
If you wear something bright, it cheers people up.
Buy some shirts.
No, he gets tattooed.
That's when I started doing these tattoos, the same colors as them. So I wanted the same 5 colors in all my tattoos.
Ted's metamorphosis has included tattooed feathers on his skull. full facial tattoos.
By the way, he looks great.
Yeah.
For a parrot.
For a parrot man. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look great. He's got he's got feathers on his head, tattoos all over his face, piercings. He's just a total mess.
Does he look at all like a parrot?
No, because he's a human being. But he's the colors of the parrot.
Okay.
But wait till you hear, that's not all he does.
And he's even had his eyeballs colored.
Oh, what?
He's had his eyeballs colored.
Oh, no.
Now he talks about the process of coloring your eyeballs and how it's very dangerous and you could go blind doing it.
It happens so quick. You just got to keep your head still. You can't move because one slip, that's it, you're blind.
That seems dangerous.
I learned about that on Lockup. They do that in The Slammer. They color their eyes like that.
Why, if you move just one slip, are you blind?
What? Because you have because there's just a small little space to get the color in there, from what I understand. Again, I'm watching Prisoners tell how they do it. I think one slip of the hand, you hit the wrong part of your eye, you're blind.
Wow.
And that's happened to people in jail.
That seems like that's too much of a risk.
I would think,
not for him. He had one color in one eye, another color in the other eye.
Well, he does want to be a parrot.
Really wants to be a parrot.
But yeah, it is dangerous. At the end of the day, what isn't dangerous?
At the end of the day, what isn't dangerous,
it's
huh?
It's true.
The guy's right.
You know, just having a tough fight.
Ted has all the tropes you'd expect to find in absolutely any parrot. A tongue split in two.
He's got his tongue split in two. That looks good.
Screw-in horns.
Wait.
Screw-in horns.
Parrots have screw-in horns?
I don't know, but he's got horns that screw in on his forehead.
Okay.
I'm not positive why.
And the essential parrot skill that is magnetic hands.
He does seem to have magnetic hands. He's holding a coin from, I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure if that's a parrot thing either. Do they have magnetic hands? No.
Are parrots different in England?
Maybe.
Than here?
But they show it. They show the parrot. Looks like a parrot here.
Okay.
Okay, it's not. He's not done yet, though.
But one thing's definitely made his head more parrot-shaped, having his ears removed.
Okay. What?
He had both ears removed.
What?
Talking about Ted Parrot Man trying to become a parrot, and he explains why.
Because to the parrots, they only got little tiny holes.
That's why. Parrots only have little tiny holes. They don't have ears. So he had his ears removed.
Wow.
I wonder if anybody could do it. And then when I found somebody what can do it, that was it. I had to have my ears cut off, so it was like them. So I got two little holes.
So now he's got no ears. He's got two little ear holes.
Like a parrot.
Yes.
The day after I had my ears cut off, it was windy. You're in Bristol. I walked in and I said, God, blimey, it's ever windy out there. I said, look, my ears is blown off.
He's telling a joke to his mates in a pub.
Wow.
Wow, blew my ears right off.
Wow.
What do you think his response was from the people he told?
Oh, how?
Hilarity?
And everybody just in hysterics.
Everybody was in hysterics. I mean,
have you ever been to Bristol?
No.
That would go.
Does that explain everything?
Yeah. Honestly, as soon as he said Bristol,
you lit up, right?
Okay. All right. Should have led with that.
Why?
It's an interesting
place. Nutty place?
Yeah.
All right. He's still not done.
Okay.
He's had his ears removed now.
Ted's not finished yet, though.
What I'm going to do eventually is have the bottom part.
Okay. Now he's touching the bottom part of his nose, the cartilage part.
Yeah.
He's going to change his nose.
Okay.
So that it's a beak.
Cut away there, the septum, and it'd be made into like a beak. And that's what I'm looking forward to having done as well.
Thankfully, Ted's septum is not being ripped out today. Instead, he's merely going to have his tongue and lips tattooed with bright colours and have another stud punched into his chest.
Tongue and lips.
Okay.
Tattooed in bright colours.
There is going to... Sorry. There is going to be a lady that is going to like this, though.
There's not.
No, 100%. There's going to be... There's one person for everyone. There's going to be the lady... Oh, you're a parrot.
I subscribe to that.
Split
there's one person for everyone.
And horns?
No, sir. Yeah. Not in this case.
What about, like, Finch Lady? What if she's super into it?
Well, maybe. Maybe then.
The time I start is when they bury me. You know, it's when I'm dead. Yeah, I just love it. Yeah.
I'm not going to stop till I'm dead.
Listen.
Because he loves it.
It makes Ted Parrot Man happy.
Right.
And I say, who are we to judge?
Right.
I've had my lips all tattooed. I've had all my tongue tattooed. And it needs a little bit more to go into it.
Still, Ted's beautiful technicolor plumage brings joy to humans.
Brilliant. Does it?
And parrots alike.
Does it?
Listen.
Does it bring joy to humans?
I'm going to tell you, if I'm drinking in a pub in Bristol and I see that dude,
you're thrilled.
I want to know all about him.
Right.
I want to hear his ear joke. Mm-hmm. I will laugh heartily and possibly buy him a few rounds.
So it
brings joy.
And parrots, though. Do you think it brings joy to parrots?
Oh, was that the question?
She said it brings joy to all people and parrots.
I don't think parrots are like, he's one of us.
Right.
Come on.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Allie, you found the list of the 25 most rewatchable movies of all time.
Yeah, it was an older list, but somebody had tweeted about it, and I was going through the tweets, the responses from people. First of all, everyone's always mad at a list.
Sure.
That their movie isn't on there. What about this? But this list, I think it was from 2015, has the most rewatchable movies. Number one was Star Wars. Number two, Wizard of Oz. Number three, Sound of Music. Okay. And it goes on and on from there. But people were very upset that their movie wasn't on the list. And it's understandable. It's the most rewatchable for you.
Right. Exactly. Like, I have three that I'll watch anytime they come on.
Mm-hmm.
One is Deadpool.
Okay.
I'm a monster inside and out. I belong in a circus.
Wait, Vanessa loves you. She doesn't care what you love.
Oh, do you like what you see?
No.
You look like an avocado. Had sex with an older, more disgusting avocado.
Yeah. It could be in the middle of it. I'll watch the end of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It.
Just anytime. Number two for me is any Harry Potter movie. I love those.
Nerd alert.
Do
you really, Kevin?
I do. I love that series. Wow. I love the movies. I think the movies are great. Not a big reader. Didn't read the books.
Yeah. You even went to the Hollywood Bowl to see it perform.
I did. Yeah, with an orchestra. That's true. Yeah. What? It's up with me, right?
Fight back! You coward, fight back!
No. He belongs to the Dark Lord.
I mean, come on, that's a great series.
Bet it is.
My third one is Dirty Dancing.
Sorry. Stop it! You stop it right there, you dick.
My third one is Talladega Nights. Okay. Talladega Nights. It doesn't
now
matter where it is.
We're back talking here. Here we go.
Doesn't matter where it is.
Mr. Biden, come on down here.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
This is going downhill fast.
It
I
is.
Think it'd be a great time to go to commercial break.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey!
Can I tell you, when I saw that movie in the theater, as I was leaving with my friend, a family was waiting right by the door. They're like, I'm sorry, we were just waiting to see who the hell was laughing as much. And it was
and
you.
It was you?
It was me and my friend. It was
awesome.
The point where we were hitting each other. There was nowhere to contain our laughter, so it was coming out in punches. Oh, I love that
movie. That's a great movie.
That is a good one.
All right,
one.
That's my top three.
Well, I have a different top three,
okay,
if you will. But one movie that I got sucked in this weekend watching, and it was on Bravo. I mean, I own this movie. I can watch it anytime. I'm now watching it with commercials.
Right.
What is wrong with me? And that movie, The Shawshank Redemption.
I mean, Mexico is way the hell down there, and you're in here, and that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. It's down there, and I'm in here. I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living, you get busy dying.
Right?
I'm already tearing up. I'm like, will they ever meet up again in Mexico, Andy and Red? I don't know. Plot twist, they do.
How many yards of S did he crawl through?
A lot of sewage.
50 yards.
Yeah.
No, 300. That's three football fields.
Such a good movie. I love it so
much.
That
is a good movie. Number two is Paul Blart?
No. Okay. Just out of the top three.
Okay. I like Paul Blart, by the way.
Oh, so does Kevin. Number two for me, I don't know if it's just because you've got Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson, Irish Mob. Oh. Who's the mole? Who's corrupt? I don't know. Everything's changing. The Departed.
You didn't come here to talk, right? You came here to get arrested. You got tapes of what? Costello was my informant. I was a rat. Prove it. He was working for me. He was my informant. Shut your mouth. Come on, get up.
That's weird because I do love that movie, but it doesn't come to mind as
I'll watch
the most
it
rewatchable.
Anytime. And I'm always shocked when the elevator doors open. I'm like,
right.
What?
Yes. And I'm always sad when Charlie Sheen's dad,
Martin,
spoiler alert, gets thrown off the roof and lands right there.
Ugh.
I love that movie.
I do, too.
I've seen it 40 times, probably.
Absolutely.
I really have.
I will say this movie is such a joke with my family because they will call me and be like, we were flipping channels. It's on. So just letting you know.
You're number three?
I will watch this movie anytime, any place. I've probably seen it, not kidding, over 200 times.
Wow!
I can recite it from beginning to end. I did a cheerleading dance to one of the songs on the soundtrack. It's insane, my love for Johnny Castle and Baby Houseman. It is Dirty Dancing.
So I'm going to do my kind of dancing with a great partner who's not only a terrific dancer, but somebody who's taught me that there are people willing to stand up for other people no matter what it costs them. Somebody who's taught me about the kind of person I want to be.
Are you crying?
I'm going to tell you right now. All I want to do is go to Kellerman's in the Poconos. I want to just learn how to dance with the dance instructor. I want to bone him for the first time, like Baby Houseman. I don't want to go through the whole ordeal, the abortion sitch and lie to my dad, that type of thing.
Right. Just the good parts.
Just the good parts. My dance space, your dance space.
You've seen it over 200 times.
100%.
Wow.
It's a sickness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Striker?
All right. Well,
Can I guess?
You can guess.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
No, but that does get honorable mention, as does Hoosiers, Old School, and Wedding Crashers.
Oh.
But
okay, good.
Rewatchable
movies. I didn't know
movies,
we could do honorable mention.
I wasn't aware, yeah.
I'm making my own rules on my seventh day hanging out with you guys.
All right.
Similar to Allie, if any of these movies are on cable where there's commercials, I will watch with the commercials,
isn't it
even
crazy?
Though I own the movies. First up, though, it's a movie that came out in 1986, My Best Friend. Friend's sister's boyfriend, brother's girlfriend, heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out of 31 flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
Bueller. Bueller.
One more, please.
Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller.
I mean.
Real good.
That is great.
Real
That's a good,
good
choice.
So good. All right. Next up. All right. This is a movie.
Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, such
Do
a classic.
Do you have any sausages? Sausages. This is, I go to bed to this movie two nights a week. Two nights a week. It helps me go to sleep.
Okay.
What?
You beat Nicky with fists. He comes back with a bat. You beat with him with a knife. He comes back with a gun. And if you beat him with a gun, you better kill him because he'll keep coming back and back until one of you is dead.
I didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't order you or anybody. I only told Andy Stone that you had a lot of heat on you and that was a problem.
You want me to get out of my own town?
Yeah, I said, let the bull blow over for a while so I can run the casino. Anything goes wrong with the casino, it's my ass. It's not yours, it's my ass.
I don't know whether you notice or not, but you only have your casino because I made that possible.
Joe Pesci.
How are you falling asleep to Casino?
Right?
It is not a relaxing movie.
The first 70 minutes are so soothing and so good, and all the voiceover work. I just love it so much. They're in Las Vegas, the blowing up and setting up the whole movie. And Sharon Stone is such a movie star with her clothes and so hot. And the way Joe, I told you, pal, to come to K-Rock? I don't think so.
All right. Ferris Bueller and Casino.
That's a Martin Scorsese movie. Just Allie
like
had
Tapati.
One as well. All right, this next one makes me cry every single time I have seen it, especially the last scene when he realizes his dad is the catcher and they have a catch, and it's this. That's not it. Oh. That's
live
me.
Footage if
this
you watch
field,
it.
This game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good. And it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Yeah, if you build it, he will come, ease his pain, go the distance. Kevin Costner thought he was easing his dad's pain. But no, it was your pain, Kevin Costner. You were easing. And I love that. They have the catch. That's Field of Dreams, 1989.
When he says, want to have a catch?
Yeah. Oh.
Lose it, right?
Lose it.
Oh.
But one thing that bothers me, his dad, the catcher, cannot throw a baseball properly. They couldn't hire an actor for 1 minute who can throw a ball properly. It looked like he never played catch in his life. That's one little thing that bothers me, but I'll watch that movie anytime it's on.
And do you get mad? Do you yell at it? When
it is?
He can't throw a ball.
A little bit. To my wife, I'm like, babe, he can't throw. And why can't he throw?
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q. Radio.com. Radio.com.
We have your passes to the world premiere of Avengers Infinity War that we're going to give away now. Stryker has a strange talent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that it's talking backwards.
Yeah.
Well, how did this... Have you been able to do this for a long time?
I started this language with a friend of mine in the mid-90s. And first, I think 8 days now I've been on your show, and all these little quirks of mine are coming out, and people think I must be insane here.
That's how it works.
Yeah. We just started thinking that certain words backwards were funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, and we made our own rules. So, Reggie would be Jerry. You keep the I-E or the Y at the end. Larry would be Rally. Jerry Reggie, the great UCLA basketball player, Reggie Miller, would be Jerry Rellum. Are you following me?
Yeah, but why?
Well, it just seemed like a fun thing to do. And both of our brains worked in a way, anytime we saw words, we could say it backwards like that. Like Anderson, Nasredna, Don, easy, would be Nod. We love Don Johnson, mm-hmm. Nod Nasnodge, because Johnson backwards is Nasnodge.
Holy crap.
Okay, so then like Dr. Drew, rock mm-hmm. cod word. Then we mm-hmm. drink a Dr. Pepper, rock cod, mm-hmm. and pepper, repep. See? Are you following?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so... This went on for years and years, and I got so much of the vocabulary in my brain, so I didn't really have to think about the words anymore.
Okay.
Which leads us to me saying character names from Avengers Infinity War. I'm going to say the characters backwards, mm-hmm. and the listeners have to figure out what this character is.
This is reverse talk.
Come along and play Strikers in reverse. Such a weirdo, isn't a blessing or is it a curse? Mm. Come on, everybody, put your mind on rewind, because it's time to play. Time to play reverse talk. Reverse talk. Reverse talk.
I love it.
All right, let's start with Raymond and Whittier. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, how you guys doing today?
We are good. Thank you for listening. Thanks for holding. Ted Stryker's going to say the name of a character backwards. You just have to tell us who it is.
Using my own rules, of course.
Correct.
Rockhard Gnarts. Rockhard Gnarts. Rockhard Gnarts.
Again.
Okay. And the backwards word is Rockhard Gnarts.
Okay, we need an answer.
Three. Come on.
No clue.
Damn.
No clue on that.
I don't know if anyone's going to get these.
That's
I thought that one was easy.
That's Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Reverse talk.
All right. Let's go to Andrew in El Monte. By the way, I did notice something that you don't put the second word first. That's a little confusing.
No, I do not. I keep it in the exact same order.
You keep them in the same order.
I keep the words in the same
order. That's weird. Why do you say the words backwards, but why don't you put the second word first?
That's way too much thinking.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Now we've got Andrew in El Monte. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys.
All right, Andrew. Here we go. Norai Nam. Norai Nam.
Norai Nam?
Yep. What's that?
Iron Man. Yes.
Wow. Way to go, Wordna.
Well played. All right, you got the tickets. We're not doing a drawing. We're just giving away the tickets. This is Paul in Norwalk.
I love this one backwards right here. I hope you get it. Tech or new car. Tech or new car. Tech or new car.
Paul?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get it there.
Come on, man. Tech or... new car.
Tech or new car?
Yep. Come on. Tech or new car.
Tech or new car.
Okay.
No one knows.
I mean, we need an answer.
Yeah, I got no clue, man.
It's Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
Rocket Raccoon.
All right. I mean, it's not going great yet.
It's not.
We do have one winner. Let's go to Alex in Bellflower. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
We're good. Thank you. Are you
all
ready?
All right, Alex. Here we go, man. This is this one you can get, I think. Here we go. Kalb Rethnap. Kalb Rethnap.
Kalb Rethnap.
Yes. This is the only game in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show that people are stumped.
Kolb.
Rethnap. I know there's people driving around that know this one.
It's got to be a B.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
B is...
Kolb.
Work it out.
Kolb.
But work it out quickly.
Better.
Kolb.
Oh.
Okay.
Goodbye.
I mean, it's Black Panther.
Black Panther. You guys knew that one, right?
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Reverse talk. All right. Let's go to Press. Plus. How do you say your name? Hello. Anyone there?
They're backing out. They're dropping right.
Going once, going twice. Okay. Sorry. Let's move on to Isaac. Good morning, Isaac.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you for holding on.
Here we go, Isaac. It is Redipes Nam. Redipes Nam. What's the second word I'm saying backwards? Nam.
If you were to say Nam backwards, what would you say?
Is it Spider-Man?
Yes!
Yes! Reverse talk, talk. Wow. All right.
Woo!
Woo, indeed. You got the tickets for the world premiere. Congratulations. Hold on. Let's go to Jerome in Glendale. Hi, Jerome.
Morning.
Good morning, Jerome. Are you ready for this one, man?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, here you go. It's two words. Rats. Droll. Rats, droll. Figure out that first word and you got it. Rats backwards.
Star-Lord.
Yes!
Star-Lord, yes! Talk, talk. All right. Congratulations. All right. Well done. Hold on, please. And let's go to Mike in Alhambra. Hello, Mike.
What's up, party people?
All right. Kevin, should I give him a very easy one or a tougher one on this one?
You got to just keep going.
Okay, here we go. You ready for this one, Mike?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Nitpak Akarema. Nitpak Akarema.
Nitpak.
Yes. Come on.
What?
Nitpak.
Nitpak. Captain America.
Yes!
How about that? Well done. All right.
Good job, Mike.
Do we have one more?
Yeah, we have time for one more. One more.
Okay.
One more.
All right, let's go to Carlos in LA. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. All right, Carlos, here we go, man. Okay, it is one word title. Cla. Cla. Cla.
Cla.
I mean, it's cla. Carlos.
Can I give a clue or no?
No, nope? Because you didn't give clues to anyone else.
You're right.
Carlos.
Cla. Four?
No, that would be Rock.
Oh, Damn. Sorry. It's Hulk.
Hulk. Thank you, guys.
All right. Sorry about that.
Thank you for calling the Notates, though, on the world famous Q-O-R-K.
Reverse talk, talk. Reverse talk, talk.
The Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
We are going to talk about Kendrick Lamar now.
Amazing.
It is amazing. We're going to go to our hip-hop correspondent.
Chance the clock. Your flow is so tight. You rock the mic right. I can't believe you're white. Shinsu Kong, come on, blow up the spot. The world famous K-Rock, let's talk hip-hop.
Yeah. Jensen, good morning.
Oh, good morning, friends.
How are you, sir?
Good morning.
It's been forever since we've talked to you.
Oh, boy, hasn't it? Feels like it's been days.
First question for you is, what is a Pulitzer? I know that sounds stupid, but I don't know what it is.
No, I mean, it is, they give it in many different ways, but this is the top of the creative awards. This is supposedly sort of the
most
bougie, high-end, you are contributing the most to culture, and to our country culturally. So this is normally, for those who don't know, this has been given mostly to classical pieces of music, and then, it was like progressive for it to start being given out to jazz musicians. So that's how far back this process is that when they started giving it to jazz musicians, Wynton Marsalis in 1997, people were like, oh, you know, so that was progressive.
So how do they find Kendrick Lamar? It seems like that group of people would never know him or his music.
Well, here's my theory on everything.
Okay.
So last year, they gave a Pulitzer to Lin-Manuel Miranda for his work in Hamilton, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I find Hamilton to be like a very cool 11th grade history teacher. You know what I mean? Like, you show up and he's sort of like, yo, this was a president. Like it feels very specific. But I could understand how it opened the door for a lot of other hip-hop to be considered. Especially since rap music is clearly the most influential music genre of all time. It's sort of crossed over in that way. And I think that Lin-Manuel Miranda was the weed to Kendrick Lamar's heroin. It was the gateway drug to get us to where we are today, which is Kendrick Lamar's newest album winning a Pulitzer Prize.
Do you think he deserves it?
Absolutely, 100%. This, to me, it's one of the three quintessential records that could be given a Pulitzer, from N.W.A. Straight Outta Compton and Public Enemy, sort of Fear of a Black Planet. Yes. These are records that not only are good for hip-hop, but they're good as far as telling a story as to what's going on culturally for an entire race, an entire genre.
Can you compare Kendrick Lamar music to what other hip-hop musicians are doing today, Jensen? He seems to be, at least for my taste, because I come from loving N.W.A. and Public Enemy and DJ Quick and then a lot of the West Coast stuff. But then I'm hearing a lot of what's popular, and they, well, I don't know if they call it mumble rap, I guess, but that's not what Kendrick does at all. He's got so much substance and the way he flows.
Even more reason. Yeah, because Stryker, you and I are old people. I just want to remind you that we're that. And hip-hop is two different things in 2018. There is what we know. That there is lyrics. There's lyricism. Those are things that we were raised on in hip-hop. Like, if someone came out and repeated the same thing 15 times, we would be like, "This is, what is he doing? Is he on PCP? And the answer is probably yes. Because in 2018, there's a whole new thing, which is now sort of getting the name SoundCloud rap, which is something that you have to be about 16 to like. You have names like Lil Xan and Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Right.
These guys who it's a different kind of art form. And that's another reason why Kendrick deserves this award, is that it's becoming a more mature aspect to hip-hop, is the lyrics and things like that. And no, he's doing something. He's progressed more than almost anyone in his art form.
You think in 20 years we're going to look back on this album and say that was that influential?
Yes, I think that this is a time capsule kind of album, absolutely. And not only that, yesterday we had the Billboard Music Award nominations. And
don't do it, Jensen. Don't do it.
I have to. And
God.
Bad Baby, who also could be called Bad Barbie. I mean,
listen, I don't even know her name. I don't care to know her name. I screwed it up yesterday, and I hate her.
Dr. Phil found her, which should be enough for us to never say the word award next to her.
Correct.
She's nominated for Best Female rapper alongside Cardi B, who had a monumental, almost trophy year for hip hop, and to put something like a meme amongst those other rappers. Nicki's the other nominee, who's an incredible rapper.
Yeah.
To put that name next to those two, it shows how far back something like the Grammys or the Billboard Music Awards are, and it shows how progressive something like the Pulitzer Prize has become.
This is the girl that we're talking about.
Catch me outside, how about that?
And here's one of her songs.
These hoes be fake flossing, fake ass jewelry, got a neck rash. These hoes be fake balling, tax money that she won't last. These hoes be riders, if they gon' come up, cause they let you. These hoes be full of drama, they always with the extra.
Sounds just like Kendrick to me.
I legitimately get mad listening to that. I'm angry.
Well, I will say one thing in her defense. She is right. These hoes do cause drama.
That is true. That is true.
So she speaks truth.
Well, I mean, yes. No, I mean, is she Pulitzer truth? We'll have to find out.
Can you imagine?
What if she wins it next year? How great would that be?
I mean, she already has sort of defied everything we want for her, which
correct.
I know you don't want to hear. But for some reason, in the past 5 or 6 months, she has acquired some sort of a real reason to be in hip hop, which I don't. It's authentic for some reason. I don't kill the messenger. But amongst this sort of, YouTube, SoundCloud generation, they don't have like a real hierarchy of what, you know, like a kid can come out of nowhere from the suburbs and have tattoos all over his face and have a song where he repeats Gucci over and over, and it becomes a hit. So I don't know, but for some reason she is getting kind of more credible, and I don't want to be the person to tell you that.
I think she's only like 16 years old.
Yeah, she's a child, and she got in a fight with another YouTuber this week at the, what is that, the Glendale version of The Grove? I don't understand. She got another, I wish I didn't know more about her.
Wait, I feel like, okay, no one get mad at me. Now, yeah. I do not like the content of the song, but I think her voice is not that bad in that track.
She's got great producers.
She does have great producers.
That's the thing. Hip-hop in 2018 is about the production and the repetitive beat, and I could argue for it, but I just don't want to.
I got you. All right.
Just don't want to.
All right, going back to Kendrick just for one last question, and that is, does the Pulitzer Prize do anything for him?
I hope so. You know, the NPR crowd is always a little different than the normal hip-hop crowd, and the New York Times crowd is different. All of these things open up for Kendrick, and he deserves it, and in the same way that Hamilton sort of, I tweeted once as a joke, if you loved Hamilton, wait till you hear hip-hop. And I feel similar in that way, which is like, this is going to open the door for other people. I don't think that, you know, my 60-year-old mother is going to ask me about Royce the 5'9 tomorrow. But I do think that this will start to, you know, open up the door for smart, credible, political hip-hop to enter sort of the scene. We have a movie coming out soon that was directed and written by Boots Riley that looks like it's going to get a ton of attention. He was in the band The Coup. I don't know if you remember them. Mm-hmm. From the 90s, but it looks like that too is going to open up the door for the New York Times crowd, and he has a hip-hop mentality and clearly came from hip-hop. So we just have more and more of these things knocking at the door, and this is a real sign of that door opening up.
That's great news.
It is.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time, Jensen. You can follow Jensen on Twitter at JensenClan88 with a C because he's not racist. The website.
But Bad Bobby does sound racist.
The website is JensenCarp.com. The podcast is Get Up On This, which is great. It's available at iTunes. And the TV show, don't forget, Drop the Mic Sundays at 10:30 on TBS. Who's going to be this Sunday night?
This Sunday we have Odell Beckham Jr. versus Shawn Mendes. He's like the new Canadian. Like,
yes.
And then we as if hip hop. Right after I defended hip hop forever, I'm gonna punch it in the face. We have John Cryer versus Molly Ringwald.
Oh, this is the one I've been looking forward to.
Can I tell you one thing before I go?
Sure.
Molly Ringwald, as she was practicing, we were rehearsing with her. I was helping her, and she looks at us, and we were, wow, you're really good. And she goes, you know, I was engaged to Ad Rock for 3 years.
Oh my God!
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it true? Did you research it?
I researched it. Can't find that much about it from her actual mouth. So you can watch her. You can watch her show actual Beastie Boys influence this Sunday, 10:30 TBS.
There you go. Thank awesome. You, Jensen. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Bye now.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K Rock.
Lauren Zittlemurski.
You got it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Is in our studio because he just ran the Boston Marathon backwards.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Now,
which was how many days ago? 2 days ago?
Monday,
yeah. Okay.
You ran the whole thing backwards.
The whole thing.
Because we had a conversation about this, and I said if I were doing that, I would, at the starting line, I would go backwards.
Yeah.
Then I would run forward for 22 miles. And then the last mile, I'd turn around and just run backwards again. You did the whole thing.
The whole thing.
You finished the race.
26.2 miles backwards.
How fast?
Not as fast as I wanted to run it, but it was 5 hours and 43 minutes. Right. I was going for the world record. I did not.
What's the world record?
3:43.
There is a world record for running a marathon backwards?
Absolutely. There's a Guinness World Record.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so weird. Why did you do it?
I'm doing it to raise money and awareness for epilepsy. I've raised over $66,000 so far.
Wow.
Amazing.
Good for you.
And a ton of awareness. You know, epilepsy is a stigmatized disorder. No one really talks about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting out there and I'm talking about it as much as I can. I'm trying to educate people. It's a really serious disorder. It kills people. A lot of people don't know that.
Why is that important to you? Why did you pick that one?
I lost my brother Brian before I was born to epilepsy. He was 7 years old. He had nonstop seizures in his sleep and he passed away as a result.
Sorry.
It is a tough subject to talk about. You know, things like that are tough to talk about, tough to get people to listen to. But running a marathon backwards does that. It actually gets people's attention.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, when I came up with this idea last June, it was kind of like, I don't want to say a gimmick, but it was something that I knew I could get a lot of attention. Most people have never seen a backwards runner. But, you know, I ran over almost 700 miles backwards to train for Monday. And it was hard. It was so hard. I mean, it's so much harder than running forwards. I kept injuring myself. I had all these ailments in my muscles. And it became kind of symbolic to what epilepsy is like for a lot of people. It's a struggle. It's really, really, really tough for a lot of people with epilepsy. And I can tell you the last 10 months of training for this were so tough. And then the race itself, I can't even.
But well, at least you had good conditions,
right? The weather cooperated, so that was good. So there was blowing wind in the faces of the runners.
Yeah, headwinds.
Headwind. Well, for me, it was a tailwind.
You were the smart one. Because it was hitting everybody else in the eyes. It was like sleet coming in the rain. Yeah. It was crazy.
I mean, it was still resistance to me, but the number one thing that Rather Runner said to me as I was running was, "You're running that way for the tailwind." And they all thought it was hilarious and that they were the only ones who thought of that.
Pretending it was funny, you just heard it.
But yeah, it was, so we had the winds. Uh-huh. It was pouring rain. You know in LA when all of a sudden the sky just opens up?
Yeah.
It was like that for most of the race. So I was just completely soaked. And that combined with near freezing temperatures and then I'm sure with the wind chill, it was probably freezing.
Yeah.
I had hypothermia for sure. My hands were swollen. Like if you took silicone gloves and blew them up, they were like balloons.
Because you have pretty sort of bony, skinny hands.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I mean,
was that a weird thing to say?
I mean,
what do you comment on next? Is waist size?
I'm just saying. It's,
I mean, the way that your waist comes down in a V, I really like that.
And your calf muscles really do something for me in those jeans.
I can't tell you how sore I am right now, though.
In terms of running backwards, not easy, but just seeing, were you wearing something with mirrors so you could see what was behind you?
No, I had a team with me.
Okay.
I had like six runners with me. I had a main spotter.
Okay.
Who I've trained with out in the Paseos of Santa Clarita. For all of you out there in Santa Clarita, that's me. I'm the guy running backwards out there all the time.
Big up 661.
Yeah. And then we had five other people running with us.
Okay.
They ended up going ahead and finishing once we realized that I wasn't going to break the world record because they were freezing and I felt bad for them because they were running out.
You're on your own, Lauren.
So what were they shouting left, right, left, right?
Jim.
You didn't have any way of looking?
Jim Pobance, my spotter. Left, right, left, right. And there was one of the guys actually, at least when he was running with us, he was up ahead picking up debris because there was all kinds of stuff that I could have tripped over.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was like playing Frogger during parts of it.
Frogger reference.
Frogger blindfolded.
Wow.
Hey, I've been at the gym and I've seen people on the treadmill going backwards, but normally they're at about, I'd say, maximum like 3.8. And I watched them like, these people are, they're going to get so hurt. Did you train on a treadmill or did you train just outdoors backwards?
Both.
How fast did you get up to on the treadmill backwards?
I mean, I was training for like tempo runs. I was doing like, you know, 7.5, 8 minute pace.
Wow.
Because the race pace I wanted for the world record was 8.5 minutes per mile. And I felt strong on race day and I thought it was definitely doable. But I was just frozen. I ran 700 miles. Zero of those miles were in the rain.
Yeah.
Zero of those miles were with heavy winds. Yeah. And zero of those miles were in freezing temperatures.
Yeah, this was unheard of weather. It's so sad because it's usually, I went to Boston College. So we're right on the parade route and it's Patriots Day. So we all have the day off. So we start drinking around 7 a.m.
Nice, 7 a.m.
Oh, come on.
Sweet.
That's late for us.
Also known as your work day at K-Rock.
Similar, very similar. But we would head out to the parade route. It's usually sunny and beautiful, and everyone's in such a good mood. I can't even imagine after coming over Heartbreak Hill, going down there, just, it's amazing you finished it,
first of all. Thank you, yeah.
But in those conditions, my God, you have to just be happy with finishing.
Absolutely. You know, the training was so tough, and I kept injuring myself, so I almost had this fear I wasn't even going to be able to run on race day.
Yeah.
And I felt good on race day, and then I realized, you know, this is very dangerous. I could fall, and I wanted to finish the race, so I slowed down my pace, and I had a good time. And
Did you pass people?
I did pass some people.
Because imagine you're running a marathon.
Oh, miserable.
And a guy goes, backwards passing the bar. Look.
Damn
it. I haven't got the wind and the sleep. That guy's running backwards. He just passed me. I'm stopping.
But, you know, most runners out there love it. And, you know, I had people taking pictures with me. And I had, you know, just so many people saying it's so wonderful what you're doing. And a lot of people actually came up to me and told me their own epilepsy story or that of friends and loved one. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm doing it. You know, the world record was a goal. But really, my goal was to raise as much money and awareness for epilepsy as possible. And I accomplished that.
And you raised $66,429.
So far. Awesome. I'm hoping to pull in some more money.
Is there a way, if anyone wants to donate, that they could do it?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is bostonbackwards.com, and I have a bunch of information up on there. And you can find me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Boston Backwards, or Backwards Guy, as I'm also known by. Which people knew that because people were, and I don't know, maybe it's just the best name in the world, and they just automatically that popped in their head. But as I ran by Backwards, they're like, it's the Backwards Guy. And I'm like do they know that name? Or is
they're just commenting on what you're doing.
Yeah. But the people of Boston are just so wonderful. I've never been to Boston before, but they were all out there in the pouring rain, you know, the volunteers, and it was so cold, and I have to give it to them. They were amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you raised a lot of money. That's impressive. You didn't win the world record, though, so fail, right?
I mean, Kevin, I don't think that's saying? The takeaway here. No.
That's not the takeaway.
No.
Okay, my bad. Again, the website is bostonbackwards.com. Thank you for coming in. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher coming in just after the top of the hour.
Very well done.
I didn't feel like it was very well done, but it was done.
And if you don't know who they are a married couple who are so funny. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to meet them.
Yeah. Their special came out yesterday on Netflix.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's a three-parter.
It is.
So you watch Natasha do her own set, then you see Moshe... see, now you're screwing me up with the name. Do his own set. Then the third set, they come together and they roast the hell out of audience members. And it delighted me to no end. Oh, good Lord. I did have to turn it off at one point.
Why?
Because I was thinking of Googling the thing about the, you know. We're going to talk to them.
Okay.
Later. Yeah. The recircumcision, if you...
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, we're going to do some penis talk coming up. It's just what we do here.
Okay.
Blake Lively couldn't be more lovely. We love her. We love Ryan Reynolds. We love their relationship. Anything they do on social media, they tend to be very self-deprecating. They tend to just kind of jab at each other, which is humorous. But she posted a picture on her Instagram with Big Bird and wrote, "Still geeking out. Kids used to make fun of me in elementary school by calling me Big Bird because I was too tall and had yellow hair. Here's to making best buddies with the things that once hurt you."
Wow.
Oh. See, stars, they're just like us. Yes, screw you. You turned out to be Blake Lively. I have no time for, "Oh, kids were mean to me because I was beautiful and tall." You guys know that my first crush... Whoa. You may not know this.
I may not know this. Okay.
Yeah.
Any clue?
It's not a human.
Yoda?
Oh, Yoda would be a great guess.
Yes.
No, I will give you a clue.
Right at the perfect height.
I loved this furry little thing and his pork pie hat and his little scarf because all he wanted to do was bring joy, and he would tell jokes and that was an awful joke.
Officer McGruff?
No, he took a bite out of crime.
Smokey the Bear?
Smokey the Bear is Forest Fires.
Oscar the Grouch?
He's a dick in a can.
Ernie and not Bert?
Play the clip.
Waka waka.
Oh, Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear.
Yeah.
I told that story on air about how he was my first, like, legitimate crush as a kid. And somebody from Disney was listening because Kevin and Bean immediately were like, "You're such a loser. You had a crush on a Muppet. What's wrong with you?"
Waka waka.
I got a beautiful letter on Muppet's letterhead from Fozzie, just telling me how much it made his day.
Don't tell her that he's... Don't tell her.
What?
Nothing, it's great.
And then, that he's not a real
don't
thing.
Don't tell her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Allie, I've learned two things since I've been on with you guys for 8 days here. One is you had a crush on Ricky Schroeder, then he showed up to your news event.
Yes.
And your nipples were out in an outfit.
It was a sumo wrestling outfit.
Oh, sumo wrestling, that's what it was.
Indeed, they weren't my nipples at all.
And then you go from the Ricker to the Bear... Fozzie.
Yeah.
Fozzie Bear.
Yeah,
okay.
Fozzie was my first.
Okay.
Waka, waka.
That one I did have my nipples out. Nipples out for Fozzie. Yeah. It's a bumper sticker. It was weird driving around with that. What's happening?
I'm not sure.
I've learned a lot from
you. I'm not positive, but I want one of those bumper stickers.
Nipples out for Fozzie. All right.
Waka, waka.
Right. Some birthdays for you. Chloe Bennett, David Tennant, Melissa Joan Hart, America Ferrera, James Wood, Rick Moranis, Maria Bello, and my ultimate crush, number one on my list, Conan O'Brien. Happy birthday, you big old tall drink of water. That's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Natasha Leggero and Masha Kasher are close. In studio with us. Was that close?
No, that's fine.
Close enough or no?
You don't have a Jew name Moshe. Research department here?
I apologize.
Right here.
Oh,
great.
Yes.
Masha Kasher. Yeah, I know it's not easy
I said it wrong every time, and I've said it several times. Okay.
I do like that I want to say Moisha.
Now, that I would have accepted.
See, that's acceptable.
That makes me feel like
you're... Okay.
No, I accept that. It makes me feel like you're an older uncle.
Right. You know? Thank you. Yeah. All right. Moisha. Yeah, Moisha. Hard. What's wrong with us?
You can also say Mosh if you're insecure Mosh. About how to end it.
You can also just scream Jew and I'll respond to that.
Excellent.
I'd rather not do that if that's all right.
No, in the studio, this is a safe space.
I see.
Outside,
okay.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No one can hear us.
Or
so
growing up in Oakland, they would scream white boy, and I would respond to that, too. So okay. It really depends on who's screaming what.
You just respond to anything.
I'll respond, yeah.
Tell us about your Netflix stand-up special, the Honeymoon stand-up special.
The Honeymoon special, we're calling it. It was really fun.
How did you come up with the idea? Because it doesn't seem like comedians have ever done. I don't know that anyone's ever done this.
Well, Sonny and Cher did a thing.
Sonny and Cher, okay.
But two of the most classic stand-up comedians of our time. No, Natasha and I,
although Cher has great timing. If you rewatch those old episodes.
Oh, so good.
Really?
Oh,
really,
she
kind of
has it all.
Oh, she's great. You know, there's a clip online of this, like, MSNBC or some, like, very left-wing war news program where they take calls, and the guy, you know, they're talking about the Iraq war, it's old school, and this person calls in and is just like, yes, thank you for taking my call, this is an outrage, these weapons of mass destruction were never found, this is it's a war crime, this is terrible, and the newscaster goes, is this Cher? And she's like, yeah, it's Cher. But anyway. Clearly she's called in before.
She calls all the time.
She calls all the time.
I mean, she's very active on Twitter, too.
I love the idea of Cher, like, calling in, like, a local news broadcast. Right.
That is funny. Try to get past the screeners with a good comment.
Yeah, let them
know that she's Cher.
Hi, it's Cheryl.
But, yeah, so our special, I do a half-hour set. Moshe does a half-hour set. And then we come together for the third part to do half hour of couple live relationship counseling it pretty much turned into roasting
it's the couple's roast.
I mean, we started doing this on the road and it just became so funny because everyone, the kinds of people who want to get up and talk about their problems, it was usually pretty funny.
Isn't it weird that people want to get up on stage
do that.
And talk about their problems?
How about on a Netflix special? Right. I don't know how we're going to edit it.
That's a weird thing.
They were funny at, you know, the first couple, you're like, oh, pet peeve, he has Google Maps for parking lots. But, like, that was funny. But a woman named Mary, do you remember her?
Mary's
that
cool.
Got dark.
Her name was Mary Margaret.
Mary Margaret.
No. The one before that, I think, is what she's talking about.
Yeah, Mary
woman.
And Tim.
That was
Why
a funny one.
Why did I write
one.
All these down?
That was a funny one because... The structure of it is that the structure of it is. See, don't call me. You can also call me Irish boy, and I'll turn around for that too. The structure of it is that we bring people up. We kind of find one pet peeve and the other pet peeve in a couple, and then we kind of roast them a little bit. And it's, by the way, we're not qualified relationship counselors. We're stand-up comedians.
Yeah, of course.
Primarily,
who are married?
Who are married
with a child? Congratulations!
Well, I was
thank you
pregnant
very much.
When we did the special, I was 8 months pregnant, and now the baby came out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations on
she's
that.
She's our daughter.
And every night we've been playing her the special. And she is not into it.
Oh, no.
No, well, but so that one you're talking about, that was a funny one because her pet peeve was he never does the dishes.
Uh-huh.
And his pet peeve was that she didn't have feelings and everything was always his fault. And it was very intense.
It got dark. Wow. And then she's like, I guess dishes? Like, it was so quality. Oh, it's so good. I've never seen that where you guys, you come together at the end. and basically roast people in the audience. And they were so into it.
They were into it. I mean, I think people like, I think especially in the sensitive times we're living in, when there is a transgressive space that's opened up for mockery, people are into it. They like it. Every couple, I think, had a good time doing it.
Oh,
and
so
it's, it started from us as being a couple. We both were headlining comedians separately. And as they say in stand-up, like you get paid to travel. You do the shows for free. Because the worst part of the job is being on the road by yourself. And especially when you're not single. Because there used to be fun times before.
We get it, Moshe. You can't have sex with the cocktail waitresses.
No,
anymore.
I can. I just can't talk about it on the radio anymore.
Exactly.
I used to be able to openly
talk
about
it. You have
to keep that on the DL. Right. And so Natasha was like, oh, let's do this tour together. But it was based on a couple that you actually had found out.
Oh, yeah. So my show, Another Period, I did some research in Newport, Rhode Island about the Gilded Age and all these rich people. And there was this couple that we learned about who went on a 10-year honeymoon.
They came back with four kids.
This is how rich people were in the Gilded Age. They were just like, we're going on a vacation for 10 years.
10 years.
And so I was like, oh, I want to do that. So we've started. I think we're on year two.
That's right.
So we have 8 years left.
And then eventually Netflix saw the show and was like, oh, let's turn this into
a special.
Our
honeymoon, it was like a working honeymoon, and we were doing our tour only. But I told Moshe I only want to go to honeymoon destinations. So we would do the tour in like Palm Springs and Santa Barbara and just like all these wine country, and then have people, couples, come to us because, you know, if you live in Barstow, you know, you don't want us to come there. Why don't you drive to Palm Springs?
Right.
Oh, man.
Shout out to Barstow.
Yeah.
We were describing the first leg of the tour as the most beautiful destinations in the Western United States and also Albuquerque. So, but then we got to Albuquerque and it was really nice.
There was a great hotel there. I loved
it. That's part of what's cool about the about touring. The good part of touring is that you go to these places, especially as like a, you know, obnoxious, bubbled Californian. You go around the country and you go, like, every place is beautiful. Every place is awesome. I mean, well, look, not everybody. I've been to Modesto.
It was scary, though, to be doing this.
Have you ever done radio before?
She's brand new to comedy.
I thought this was a podcast.
Yeah.
Many things I loved and learned about you guys. Moshe, I go to you on this, and the listeners, it's not giving away much, but you talk about your mom is deaf.
My mom is deaf, yeah. And so she didn't hear Natasha say that word.
Exactly.
Just now. Yeah.
But one thing that made you uncomfortable as a kid, and I spit out my water in my bed, is your mom owned the loudest vibrator in the world.
She's deaf. She didn't know.
She didn't know. Yeah.
It is true. There's a long story in the special about how my mom thought the appropriate way to teach me the birds and the bees was to bring me to like a kind of hippie, crunchy granola vibrator shop and like sort of not show me the ropes, but you can't say the S word, but I can talk about this all day long, I guess. All right, FCC. But she sort of, you'll hear the story. The story of the special is pretty wild, but she basically opened me up into this sort of crunchy feminist granola sex shop and like pushed me toward the center of the shop and was like, good luck in there.
That's not the way to teach a kid.
You're right. It's not. I agree.
He knows the brand name of the vibrator, which is great.
It's the Hitachi magic wand.
It is the Hitachi magic wand.
Just saying.
But what I was going to say about the kid being pregnant is that we realized, like, at the end of our tour that we were getting all these updates from, like, these apps, like, you know, the Wonder Weeks and telling you about your baby. And they're like, your baby's beginning to hear everything you say.
We got an email that goes, now your baby can hear your voice from within the womb. We were like, uh-oh.
Because, you know, we have, like, abortion jokes and, you know.
Hitachi magic wand jokes. The circle of life.
If you've ever been masturbated at in public, all the women screamed in the audience, and you're like, how many men that happen to that are females out there?
Right, I do a thing on my set where at the end of the special, I'm asking I'd say 50. Can I not say this?
Say the M word, right? Can you say masturbate?
Yes.
Okay. Don't say J-O.
Isn't that
crazy?
Okay. You can't say that.
I'm sorry. I'm such a jerk.
What's happening with Natasha?
You just held up a sign that said you're 86 forever. Weird. I'll take over.
I'm going to be a terrible mother. I thought I was being clean.
Natasha's been doing comedy for over 15 years. Been doing radio that whole time.
Okay, so masturbate in public.
Yes.
I asked the women, have you ever seen a man masturbate in public? And invariably, every single show, like the first two rows, every woman raises her hand. Like,
it blew my mind when I would watch her do the bit.
Yeah, men will watch it and be like, I can't believe this happens all the time.
We've talked about that subject. We've talked about that subject on the air, and it is shocking.
Has it happened to you?
All women call.
I mean, I welcome it.
And we could take calls for 5 days.
No, it is crazy. It was actually, I don't know. I'm not a big believer in like the power of comedy or whatever, but it was sort of powerful to just watch night after night, because I got to see her do this bit more than anyone else because I was always there.
Sure.
And it just night after night, seeing a 2/3 to all of the women raise their hand, and you start to go like, oh, wow.
Yeah, in all different settings, from a beach to maybe a guy leaning up against a tree in a park.
Right.
I mean, they're always so funny, too. Like, usually on a special, you wouldn't leave all that to chance. But I just knew every night it's crazy, so I just kind of let it ride.
Yeah.
And there was a woman who saw in the special, you know, it wasn't a plant, and she was like, oh, I saw a guy at the children's section at the library.
Right,
oh.
And she didn't tell anybody about it.
Oh.
Can I say that on the radio?
Yes.
You can think that on the radio.
Yes, you can.
There's a man at the corner of Fairfax and Santa Monica Boulevard, which is the route I take, who is probably doing that every 7 days. I see him there, and he also touches his nipple at the same time.
Let me ask you a question.
Go on.
Why is that the route you take if you know you're going to see that every time?
Sounds like you're into it.
You answered
it.
I love it. Maybe, he's diverted.
I get up at 4 in the morning. My life is very slow outside of here.
It's the long way here, though. It's odd that you would do that.
I live on the opposite side. That is not on the way.
All right, we need to take a break. Natasha Leggero is here, and Moshe Kasher.
Yeah. Congrats, you're a bar mitzvah.
The stand-up special is on Netflix. It's called The Honeymoon Stand-Up Special. We'll be right back.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Natasha and Moshe are here.
No. I mean, unbelievable.
I call you Moshe.
Oh, you did? Okay, yes. You're back in.
I got her permission.
You're back.
Because he's afraid of the dismount. It could be Moshe.
Oh, you're right. Moshe, I get that. It's a little bit scary.
Moshe.
But now Moshe is like just easy.
It's a little familiar, but I'll accept it.
Rhymes with Gauche.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is Natasha's just said that we could use that.
Okay,
so
fine.
She did give us permission.
All right, no, you know what? Moshe. I stand corrected. Thank you. All right,
Moshe and Tosh. And Moshe.
It's Moshe.
It's cute. It's real cute. If you guys haven't watched it yet, it came out yesterday. It is the Honeymoon Special. So Natasha does the first set, then Moshe does the
short
second set. Yeah, 30
minutes.
Yeah. And then Moshe does the second set. Then they come together and basically roast couples in the audience at the end. And that leads me to the question. You talked at the beginning of your set, first of all, how you had converted.
Me, yes. I converted to Judaism from Catholicism.
And wow, the way you describe Catholicism, I had to take a pause. That was amazing. But then you guys come together and you talk about the conversion classes.
Oh, right, and our wedding.
And how there are so many women in these classes, and then you figured out why, because a lot of men aren't converting.
Oh, because you know the male ritual in Judaism is.
But
you
is
know.
That true that even if they are circumcised, they have to do it again?
Yeah, that is true.
Oh my God! What?
So no, basically, the conversion class was only women, and then we realized it's because the men have to get circumcised again. And it's a ritual
because
kind of
the bris. So
if you've already been circumcised, unfortunately, they have to cut the entire thing off. No, no, they just do. I've never seen this done because thank God I've never had to. But it's apparently it's like literally a ritualistic. This
if you're
sounds so arcane and awful. But anyway, they do like a little ritualistic, like, pinprick bloodletting ceremony.
What the hell's going on?
Well, I mean, God wants that. I mean, isn't that obvious? Isn't it intuitive?
If you're not circumcised, you have to get circumcised.
You have
like
to get the
40?
Little ritual, the ritual pinprick.
Oh, you don't get circumcised, though.
But no, you can't actually.
Okay.
I went to a bris from some friends of mine, and it's a big public thing.
Right.
Do they have to do it that way?
Well, yeah. Well, nowadays you have to do it on a webcam. I don't know if you know that. Yeah.
Yeah, they broadcast.
I didn't know that was part of
it. Yeah, they broadcast it.
Good. Then it turns into a podcast series.
That's right.
After that, the bris.
Moshe and I were so happy, though, that we had a girl so we didn't have to put her through that horrifying experience.
Yep.
I mean, these parents who the kid's 7 days old, they have to, like, cut his penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deal with the conversation of the anti. I just was like, I don't want anything. Thank God we have a girl. I don't have to worry about this.
There's
obviously,
a lot of backlash
about. With the girl, it's like it's easy. She, obviously, we'll circumcise her. But, like...
It's not called circumcision, though. It's called something else.
It's called a high five.
Good God. No, when we had you in to talk about another period, I think you were just starting the conversion process.
Oh, okay.
How many hours of classes?
Well, it was 19 4-hour classes, so that would be 20, yeah. 40.
80 minus
80, almost 80 class. I guess if you included driving, at least 100 hours.
And not only, obviously, you married the man of your dreams, so you converted for him, but
all the people
feel...
are Googling me at home like, the man of her dreams?
By the way, you're there's right. a lady yes. in Iowa. My wife and I are very excited for you, by the way. Very happy for you, personally. You right there.
You should be happy for her. She tamed the wolf.
No, but I heard what you said in the special. In the special, when your wife tweets out or Instagram that she's coming somewhere, the dirty comments are
funny.
When you put something out, maybe a lady in Iowa, but I'm saying
Thank
in my
you.
Household, we go goo goo and gaga for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Moshe said when I put something out, people are like, oh, I don't know if I can say this.
J-O-T.
Let's find out.
I mean, go ahead. You might as well.
Oh, I want to masturbate.
To
on your feet.
it rolls off the tongue better without the FCC involved.
Yes. And then Moshe said that women will come up to him and be like, I have a comedy crush on your podcast.
That's right. It's so true. The difference between the comments in her Instagram section and mine are stark. They are stark. My favorite thing to do is to go into her Instagram comments, find the creepiest comment in there, and they're creepy.
Yeah.
Copy it and then paste it right below. And just like it was from
like
me.
Like he's saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very nice. That's a nice thing for you to do.
Yeah.
What Natasha, how did you meet Moshe?
J-Date. No. just from the comedy community.
But there's
we were friends.
The energy in those clubs, when everyone is kind of struggling and working to get to a certain point, has got to be great. And when you leave the club and you go home and you're not on stage and there's not all that energy, has it been an easy transition? I know you're married and all, but is it just as easy at home as when you're in the club having fun?
I think I'm blessed with, you know, I can like really do well on stage and it doesn't really affect me. I still kind of am like...
Are you still extremely depressed?
No, I just feel sort of like blasé about it. Like sometimes people will like, you know, they need to get that energy and that high and like they need to come back for it. And I feel like, I don't know, it doesn't really...
Doesn't do that for you.
Doesn't do it. I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't get... I would just as soon rather be watching Shark Tank in bed.
But it is true. At our house, because we're both comedians, like one of us or the other one of us, especially now that we have a kid, it's really one or the other, mm-hmm. we'll go do a set. And then the moment when the other person walks through the door, we always do this, go, oh, you killed. Or not, because the energy
you can
of
tell
the,
immediately.
She walks in and she's just like confident, like, hi, I'm back. I'm like, okay, we get it, you like, killed.
I'm like, how did you know?
Yeah, okay, you got a good set. Or she comes in and is like, how's Mark Cuban doing? I'm like, rough night.
That sounds a little scary to me. Having a little baby now as well, that seems like a lot of work.
What's really scary is you're in a deep sleep and then all of a sudden it's like,
right, so you have to somehow like ignore the cries and get yourself back to sleep, and that's the hard part of parenting. Just kidding, everybody.
Yeah, but do you guys have kids? How long do those cries wake you up?
Kevin?
I mean, really...
He's like, well, my wife took care of that.
Really, a year?
A year?
Yeah.
Moshe's pretty sure we're going to sleep train her in 2 months.
Oh. I mean, you're talking about averages. I mean, it's not always every night, of course.
Well, our kid is actually, I don't know if you know this, our kid's above average.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yours is the only one that's above
parents.
I don't know about other kids, but right? What do you mean by that's so weird a parent would say that? I'm saying objectively. Maybe you guys think that this is like somehow a bias because it's my... Honestly, she's about... Don't you think? She's writing prose poetry.
Natasha doesn't even want to play along with it.
She's done.
Come I was on. Just worrying about the child for a second.
Oh
my God. No.
No. You guys, Natasha just jumped out of her skin.
Are you serious? What did you think? They had a microphone into her bassinet?
Well, you just start to get programmed.
That was
to, like,
so sweet.
That was so sweet.
I've never seen that before. That kind of blew my mind.
I started lactating. What?
That's so weird.
I mean, it didn't sound like my kids cry. My kids cry is kind of cuter than that, but
sure,
you know.
Because it's above average.
That's crazy. I booked a flight when I heard that. I was like, that's my natural. That's my instinct.
You guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you
for
having us.
Stand-up special is on Netflix right now. It premiered yesterday. It's called The Honeymoon Special, and it's fantastic. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
guys.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
One more check of what's happening with Allie McKay.
Well, The Voice is what's happening. It is still beating American Idol. The latest ratings from Monday night showed that The Voice had 9.2 million viewers and was the top rated and most watched show of the night. American Idol had 6.9 million viewers.
Hmm.
So, still beating him, is what I'm saying.
I mean, honestly, it's a better show.
It really is.
Yeah. You know, the coaches, the whole thing, the whole concept is better to me.
I agree. I mean, if American Idol had swingy around chairs, I'd be like, I'm listening. But they don't. Swingy around, by the way. Yeah.
We know what you mean.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Ratings for The Walking Dead season 8 finale. Down 37% in 18 to 49-year-olds and down 30% in total viewers from last year's season finale. However, still the highest rated cable program of the night with 7.9 million viewers.
Which is more than Idol.
Absolutely. Oh, no. They do they do incredible ratings on The Walking Dead. And to say they're down 37% wasn't the last season finale with you didn't know who Lucille was taken out.
Right.
It was a big deal, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, but they used to get 17, 18 million. Remember that?
Yeah, those were the days.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
One day I'm going to watch that show.
Are you?
Yeah, one day I'm going to
sit down. You can't watch that whole show in one day. It's not possible.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to watch that over a 9-month span.
Okay, good.
It's like a pregnancy.
You've never seen one Walking Dead?
I haven't seen 1 second of Walking Dead.
You could probably do the first season because I think it's only like six or seven episodes.
All right.
So you can do that in a day.
Okay.
Baby steps.
All right.
There you go.
I mean, I know it's good. I know the actors are incredible and everything about it is good. I don't know why it has. I haven't seen it though.
All right.
I remember the weekend that I binge watched a series that maybe I could have taken some time to watch.
This is a bad choice.
It was a horrible choice.
What was it?
I wound up loving the show so much, but the show Hannibal, it is dark. It is disturbing. You need to process that show over a week's time. But I was like, nope, I'm powering through. Oh, the people I killed after I watched that. I mean, I was so invigorated. It was a wonderful show, and I'm really sad it's no longer on.
Yeah.
Great show.
So, Stryker, this weekend.
Season one. Hannibal?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, the other one. The Walking Dead. Okay.
Season one.
I don't know if I can do it this weekend, but maybe the next weekend.
Can I interest you in Hannibal?
A Hannibal?
Just the Hannibal the show.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'll pass on Hannibal.
Oh, you shouldn't.
So it's off the air. If I watch it,
it is off the air.
I know. It will let you down that you don't have any more shows. Yeah. That's a very good point.
I am watching Barry on your recommendation. I've seen every second of Barry. Kevin, it is so good.
Kevin, it's your type of show, too.
And I trust your opinion on that, but I just haven't had time to do it.
Between Bill Hader, who is magic, Arthur Fonzarelli.
Yes.
Good
Henry
Lord.
Winkler.
Henry Winkler is killing it. Don't get me started on NoHo Hank.
You love NoHo Hank,
Anthony
I know.
Anthony Carrigan. It's so well done.
It is.
You would think I worked for HBO Barry
actually,
the way I talk about this show, but I'm just saying.
And by the
Sunday nights on HBO, it's my time. It is my time.
And Henry Winkler is a great dude.
He is a great
guy. He is a great, great guy.
He really is.
Just saying. Can you catch up on that this weekend?
I will try.
You got no hockey.
I got a lot of...
Listen, it was harsh.
Fight words from Allie McKay.
I have gone to Kings game since I was born. My parents had season tickets in 68. It hurts me when I say that, but it is true, and we don't have hockey.
We opened up the show with that in the 5 o'clock hour.
I'm just
and it was
saying.
Very depressing. Kevin was at the game last night. And he drove home very slow. I'm sorry, Kev.
It was a rough night.
Okay.
Ducks tonight. Hopefully it goes better.
Well, no. Against
being
San
swept,
Jose.
Being swept is not fun.
No,
it's not what you want.
And it's clearly a better team. So you just go, okay.
Well,
congrats.
They're a better team because it's essentially a best of the NHL.
Yeah, I know.
They got their pickings of all the great players. I'm just saying. Still a great, great team, and I'm not taking anything away from them or the refs that were brought in from Las Vegas. Wow, I'm such a bitter Kings fan, and I apologize. That's just gross. We talked about this earlier. I called it the Fry Festival. It's not. It is the Fire Festival. If you don't remember it, it was this big music festival that was going to take place in the Bahamas. Blink-182 was one of the headliners. There were going to be luxury tents, food from world-renowned chefs. It was going to be a blast.
And didn't it cost, like, an amazing amount of money?
It was a good chunk of change.
It was way more than you pay for anything else.
Because it was all luxury accommodations, amazing food. Everything was done. They had social media influencers taking pictures on yachts, like, oh, we're going to the Fire Festival.
And it's
going to
be just
Join us. Yeah, you can live this life, too. Turned out to be a huge scam. People got there. There were no bathrooms, lines for a piece of Wonder Bread with a little piece of Velveeta on it.
They were literally handing that out. It was crazy.
It was not a good situation. Led to a ton of lawsuits. Things aren't going so good. However, I'm super into this. Hollywood Reporter says that Hulu has picked up a multi-part docuseries about the event and investigates just what happened and how things went so wrong. Look for that in 2019. Yeah, I think I'd be really into watching that. I'd like to know how you convince these bands, because they had to pay them something up front just to get there.
I would
there.
Think so, yeah.
So at what point did the bands just go, hold on, this is real bad?
I saw some mumbling online. I was like, this seems weird. And then Blink pulled out. I was like, wow, this is a thing now.
Yeah. And it was the day of the festival.
Was it? I don't remember.
Or may have been the day before, when people were arriving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
No.
Yeah.
But that was one of the most fun days on social media I've ever had, searching the hashtag the entire day.
Yeah, it was unreal.
The other top day was when that lady made a horrible comment about, I think, the AIDS epidemic.
Yes.
And then was flying across the world with no cell service.
She had no idea what was happening.
Going on. She got off the plane and like, you're fired.
Yeah, that was not a great sitch for her.
On social media, it was fun,
Kevin
though.
Hates it when I say sitch. She just
don't
looked up
that.
Like,
I don't know if I like sitch that
much. It's not great. It's not great.
We got a situation.
You know what's great? BattleBots. You don't know this. Obsessed with BattleBots. I freaking love that show. We now know when it's coming back. It's coming back to Discovery Channel on May 11th at 8 p.m. and then the Science Channel on May 16th at 9 p.m.
It's a pretty strong show.
They build robots and they battle. They've got sideline people. They're finding out the stories of these builders. Sometimes you cry. Like, when you're finding out the story of, like, this dude and his wife, and we just want to build this robot, and they're going through hard times. It is.
I didn't cry, Stryker.
No, I hope not.
Yeah. Just saying. Some of the stories are real touching.
What do you guys watch around here? You guys watch some weird shows.
All right, Jersey Shore.
I love Jersey Shore.
I know you do, and so lay off my BattleBots.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right?
No, but The Walking Dead, I know it's good. American Idol, the Chair swing around show.
The Voice, yeah.
Yeah, I need to get on board and start watching some of this.
Look, you can't watch them all. That's the problem.
That's
like,
true.
I can't keep up with everything. So The Voice is a better show, I think, but I don't have time to watch it all the time. But I tape it, and then if I have time, I watch it.
Would you like to know my favorite shows?
I would love to.
I love Baskets. I love Atlanta.
I love Atlanta
Better
as well.
Things. All three of those you can find on FX.
Okay.
If I move away from FX, I'm going to watch a Barry. I'm going to watch Good Girls. And I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know if I'm emotionally prepared for tomorrow. Because
tomorrow
is the series finale of Scandal. And I don't know if I can handle what's going to happen with Olivia Pope. This guy knows. Trust me. Oh, it's not the crying guy. Yeah.
No.
It's got kind of an inward cry. Yeah. It's just the sad music. But I'm telling you, it's going to, it all comes down to tomorrow night. What's going to happen, you guys?
I mean, probably Olivia?
Olivia Pope, Melly, they're going to have to figure out, is she going to stay as president? Are they going to out the vice president? He's been doing really awful things.
I mean, I haven't watched a second of that show.
It is.
I hear it's good.
It is. Quality.
Not a second.
Quality viewing.
That's what
I just hope Cyrus goes down and not in that way. what I'm saying is I hope they kill Cyrus.
Okay.
He's awful. He's awful.
You don't like it.
You're staring at me so. He is ruining democracy. He's upending everything. It's just.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Me too, sir. Some birthdays for you. Chloe Bennett, David Tennant, Melissa Joan Hart, American Ferrera, James Wood, Rick Moranis, Maria Bello, and Conan O'Brien.
Asshole.
Not even a little bit. God damn it. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew joins us on Thursdays. We've also got Aisha Tyler in studio.
Yeah.
Love her so much. And we've got your passes for the world premiere of The Avengers Infinity War as well tomorrow.
The Kevin and Bean Show. The world famous K-Rock.